Thank you, Grace. Oh, sweet. Well, Mother's Day, and looking at a section of Scripture, which is at the foot of the cross, John 19:25-27. And I'll ask when you find that, if you can stand our great God's honor. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the mother of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your love, Lord. Your image is expressed to us through moms and dads, Lord. We see your greatness through each, the nurture and, Father, the patience and, Lord, just that unyielding love that a mother demonstrates. We praise you for all of that. And, Lord, as we look at love expressed back to a mom at the cross, I pray you minister to us, Lord, through that great account, Lord, that the one who had instilled love through the years would now receive the greatest love. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And, Father, we need your love. So speak to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. October 12th, 2007, my mom stepped into eternity. It's hard to believe it's been 12 years. And, you know, I was thinking back about my mom, as we all have stories, and I appreciate everyone sharing. My mom, she too had a lot of struggle. When she was a child, she was sick through her childhood. She had a heart condition, and it caused her to be very weak through most of those years. And then her father worked at he was a fireman for the Jacksonville, Florida Fire Department. And back in those days, an alarm went off for a fire, and two fire trucks came toward the fire from different directions, and they collided. And my grandfather was on top of the ladder that sits on top of the truck. When the truck collided, he went flying off of the truck and ended up on disability after that. And he also had some memory loss that came from the impact of where he landed. And so, you know, Mom had to deal with all those things and just a myriad of health issues and all that. But what I remember about my mom that's so interesting is, Ken had mentioned this, her sense of humor. And she, her sister, Pearl, those two would just laugh and laugh. And I remember tears just flowing from laughing so hard. You know, and I remember things like Mom when she was sick and she said, you know,
I want to have the visitation at Walmart.
Everybody come by and see me. Because, you know, those days everybody went was there. You know, now I know half of, you know, avoid or whatever. But, laughter through the hard times and instilling in that it'll be okay no matter what you face. And I, you know, I do miss her. How precious it is to have our moms where we can see them and express our love to them. And how precious it is for those of us where our moms have stepped over into eternity that we can step back and remember them and what they mean to us. Such a great blessing. The second grade class, the teacher demonstrated the use of a magnet. The next day, she had a pop quiz, and the question was, what is a six-letter word that picks up things? And over half the class answered mother. the picture of a mom who is going around, who is busy, who is picking up, who is taking care of the home and doing so many things that sometimes go unnoticed if you're not the one doing the work, putting forth that effort. Moms have a special ability to pick up things that need to be picked up, and it's not just stuff on the floor. Broken hearts. Take care of scraped knees. Take care of other issues. Hey, even when they're adults, mom still has that way to provide comfort and to bring that comfort. In our scripture this morning in John chapter 19, it's interesting that we have Jesus at the cross, and there are four women there with him, and one of the disciples as well. We want to look at these four women briefly this morning, of course, with an emphasis on the mom. And it's interesting here, just before this section of Scripture, there are four soldiers. And the four soldiers are gambling over the clothes of Jesus. Who will win his garment? And it shifts from this scene of soldiers who are literally gambling in order to get the clothes of Jesus to these four ladies and the disciple whom Jesus loved at the cross. And so we go from these four soldiers to these four ladies. And I want to just mention, hey, where were the guys? You know, there was Peter who said, I'll be with you no matter what. There's no mention of the guys except for John, who is there, right there at the foot of the cross. No Andrew, no Bartholomew, no James, no John. Mostly these ladies. And some say, hey, the Bible, you know, it doesn't say a whole lot about the women, the main characters of the guys. But there are some prominent ladies in the Bible that love God. Miriam, the sister of Moses, and Deborah, that political leader, and of course Esther, the queen who was born for just a time as this, Abigail, the wife of David, who played such a vital role in David's heart and ministry. And then the first convert in Asia was a woman named Lydia. Matter of fact, it's interesting because Paul has this vision where a guy says to him, you know, this door's closed, you need to go here. And so he goes, and there's no guys there. It's just some ladies. There's a ladies' Bible study by the river. And this one lady, Lydia, responds to the gospel. And then there is mention of ladies who are faithful to Christ through the letters of the New Testament. One commentator wrote these words. He said, how are our churches beautified, our sick tended, our poor fed, our children taught and cared for and civilized? Do you think the masculine element goes for much in these things? No. Women are the church's strong rock. As they were last at the foot of the cross, so they are often first at the altar. Notice here in our text is it lists the women. See if you notice any familiarity in the names here. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Three of these women have the name Mary. It was a very popular name. It was a prominent name of the ladies in that day, and a prominent name of the ladies who were at this cross. Just to try to describe who they are, of course, there's Mary, the mother of Jesus. His mother's sister, when you come to Mark chapter 16, verse 1, we see the companion revealed to be Salome, who is that sister of Mary, the mother of Christ. And there are in the scriptures many who believe she is the wife of Zebedee, who is the mom of James and John. Remember the lady who said, "Hey, I want my sons to sit right beside Jesus when the kingdom comes into play. Could you do this for me?" And then there's another Mary who is mentioned here in our text. There is Mary, the wife of Clopas. Now, who is she? If you take the Hebrew of Clopas, it comes out to Alpheus as a derivative of Clopas, which gives the idea that this was the mother of James the Less, the son of Alpheus. And then Mary Magdalene, who was from Magdala. And if you remember, she was a lady from which demons were cast out, a very tortured lady who was set free by Christ. And these are the ladies that were there at the cross at this terrible time, and a heartbroken mother of Jesus who watched her son hanging from that cross. And in the midst of his pain, he makes a statement, not for himself, but for his mother. It says, "When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, the disciple took her into his home." You think about Jesus on the cross. He's in the midst of this horrible suffering and pain. And yet he makes statements like to the crowd, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Or to the other thief who's right beside him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And still not thinking about himself, he sees the disciple, John, and he sees his mother. And he's speaking not of his condition, but he's thinking about his mom. And he mentions, "This is your son now. And this is your mom now. There will be this bond between you." What must have been going through Mary's mind, you know, as she thought about her journey, as she discovered that she was carrying the Messiah. And then, as people started noticing her belly growing, and people began to gossip and they questioned, and she was tortured through the gossip that must have erupted within the community. And then, when her son became around 2 years old, and Herod, in his jealousy, was just murdering all of the little ones. And they had to escape to Egypt. And then they returned. And then the people in the town chased him led him to the edge of a cliff and wanted to push him over. But it wasn't his time to die. And she had to endure all of those things. The rejection. And the spiritual leaders who were so critical and wanted to destroy him, and how they plotted against him. And then think in her mind when she walked into the temple that day, and there was a guy named Simeon there. He was an older gentleman, advanced in years, and he'd asked God desperately in prayer, "Just let me hold the baby, the promise of God, in my arms. Lord, I desperately want to hold the Messiah." And I can imagine each day he's waiting in the temple, and couples come in and they have that their little one. And then that day, in comes a young, poor couple holding their baby. And the Spirit of God speaks to Simeon and says, "Your prayers have been answered." And then he comes and he says, "Do you mind if I hold your baby?" And she looks at him and says, "Well, he doesn't look like he's a nut. I guess he's trustworthy, you know." And hands Simeon that baby to hold. And he's not done, though, as he speaks to her. He says, "I can die a happy man now, Lord. I've, I've seen your salvation, light to the Gentiles and glory for Israel. And then he goes on and he says, this child is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and a sign which will be spoken against. A sword will pierce his own soul also. And she must have thought, what in the world? And they must have walked out thinking, let's get out of here. What does this mean? But it would unfold. All of those great truths would unfold, and it would lead to the cross. And she's at the foot of the cross, going through her minds, and just a couple of truths about her as you look at her. First, she saw a lot of trouble in her life. She was not free from pain and suffering. As I mentioned earlier, the different aspects of her life where there was pain and there was hurt. And it's true of anyone who goes through life. And just because you love Jesus does not mean that you are free from any kind of suffering. Matter of fact, it says in 2 Timothy 3:12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And she faced persecution. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Secondly, compassion that was extended to her. Man, Jesus was all about compassion. As he hung on the cross, he extended his compassion. Forgive them, Father. He extended his compassion. You'll be with me in paradise, thief. He extended his compassion because he was there not for himself. He was there for us. He was dying in our place. He had upon himself our sin. And that is why he was there. Winston Churchill, addressing the British Royal Navy and the Royal Air Force, made this statement. Never in the history of humanity have so many owed so much to so few. And guys, in the history of humanity, never have all of us owed so much to one. That's what the cross is about. Giving what we could not possibly earn for us. And then the third thing, provision made. What's he doing here? He's honoring the fifth commandment that says, honor your father and mother. He's honoring his mom. He's paying tribute to her. Why isn't there other family there? Where is his four stepbrothers, who you would suspect would be at the cross, or other family? And why did why are they not the ones who he said take care of mom? Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, because at this time they were not believers. They were not followers. They didn't have their faith and confidence in Christ. And secondly, John was there. He was there at the foot of the cross. He was at that place. And so that transaction was made. Take care of one another. Take care of my mom, John. This is your mom now. One tradition said, there was a church tradition said that John had two homes in Jerusalem and he took care of Mary until her death. Another tradition speaks about the fact he headed toward Ephesus. And while in Ephesus, Mary died. But he was faithful to fulfill that command that Jesus gave to take care of his mom. So how do we take care of our moms? As I get to the end of this thing. Well, love her verbally. Tell her. Don't be like the guy that said, I love my wife. And if I ever change my mind, I'll tell her. No. Tell her. Tell your mom that you love her. Tell her what she means to you. Express that to her. And guys, if she's already stepped into eternity, I think one great way to do that is gather around your family and remember her. Talk about the memories, that how you were blessed by her. But verbally give to her recognition that you love her. when he says, dear woman, it's like I'm saying, ma'am. Or it's a way of respect. It's not just woman. It's like, dear woman, you deserve honor and you deserve all of me. And it's a way to show it. I want to share with you, this is a letter during World War II that was written by a soldier. And he wrote, dear Abby, I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. 36 days later, I was on the way to the Philippines. En route, the Philippines fell to the Japanese and we were routed to Australia. 11 days after we landed, I met the most beautiful girl in the world. On the first date, I told her I was going to marry her. I did, 18 months later. After more than 57 years of marriage and two children, my beloved Mary died 5 days before Christmas. Although we agreed that our ashes were to be scattered over the mountains, I found that I could not part with hers. While Mary was alive, she would frequently say to me, you don't know how much I love you. I would reply likewise, I never said I love you. Now her ashes are on my dresser where I tell her several times a day how much I love her, but it's too late. Although I wrote poetry to her, I could not bring myself to say the three words I knew she wanted to hear. As my dearest was dying and we thought she was comatose, I told her, there aren't enough words to tell you how much I love you. A few hours later, she whispered, not enough words, and then she died. The reason I'm writing is to urge men to express their loved ones to their loved ones while they are alive. I don't know why many men are reluctant to express the depth of their feelings. Secondly, love her physically. Give a hug. Scratch her back. Hold her hand. Show a physical expression of your affection for her. That's important. I know as the kids, when they were growing up, one of my favorite kids' books was Love You Forever. I don't know if you guys remember that book. They had this little saying in, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living. My baby, you'll be. Thank you. See, I'm the only one that read that book. But we would actually, you know, we put a little tune to it and we'd kind of sing it every time it came, you know, to that portion of the book. And, you know, her baby grew up. She got old. He got old. And at the end of the book, here she is, this elderly lady picking up this aged guy and carrying him to the chair and sitting down with him and saying, you know, to him, you know, I love you forever. I'll like you for always as long as I'm living. My baby, you'll be. And then at the end of the book, he carries her. Affection. Show the affection. And third, love her patiently. Be patient. Sometimes we can all be so impatient. And, you know, look, my name's probably in the dictionary sometimes with that, when I do not show patience. And anybody, you know, it drives me crazy, these people that want to make fun of moms who stay at home. And I know it's really hard now, especially, because, you know, just to make ends meet. I get it. But they almost act like, well, I sit at home all day and do nothing but, you know, watch TV. Have you ever watched a kid? It is tiring. It is a big job and responsibility. Don't let anybody kid you. People who talk like that, they're not watching kids. Because if you watch kids, you will know that. And then finally and fourthly, love her honorably. When it says honor your father and mother, there are no conditions attached. Love her. If she's honorable, that's not what it says. It doesn't give you a list of when it's right to honor her. We're called to honor her. And so may we be honorable and respectful to her. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our mothers, Lord, and what they mean to us. And Father, as we look at the cross, Jesus, he showed his love to his mom and thought about her after he was going to be no longer there. And Father, help us to also express love, Lord, today, whether it's directly with our moms or whether it's remembering our moms. Father, we want to honor them. And I thank you for opportunity from a beautiful word written about a mom and song sung and gifts given and singing and prayers. And Father, that love reminds us of the greatest love of all, Jesus at the cross. And Father, may we just love you. And Lord, we think about you as we come to a time to respond. Father, you know where our hearts are, and you know what is needed. And I just pray, God, that you would minister to us and that your wonderful Spirit, God, would draw us to you and that we would just trust you, Lord. So as we stand and sing, may we trust you, our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.